Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition of the Come Out of Her My People show. As I'm sure you probably know by now, if you've ever heard the show before, this is a place where we talk about the admonition from Scripture that I think is ever so appropriate in times such as these, and that is to come out of her, my people. Don't participate in the sin so you don't partake of the plagues. Hey, is there any question what those begin to look like now? And touch not the unclean thing. In other words, when things get really, really ugly, the people who know who they serve, and it's not the prince of this world, had better be beginning to separate themselves and do something different than what's gotten us into all this trouble to begin with. Now, that, of course, is what we talk about every week, but I got to tell you, this is a show that I have admittedly needed to do for a long while, but been reluctant to do as well. And so let me tell you why. The Bible says, of course, that let everything be confirmed in the mouths of, well, two or more witnesses. It also talks a lot about this time that I think we're heading into of great deception. Always, of course, we're supposed to be not deceived, but when we truly get to deceptions of biblical proportions, and I think we're headed there, it's a very important time to be aware and watchful and know what the truth is and know how to discern it. All of these things are talked about repeatedly in Scripture. You know some of the references. I've mentioned the one from Revelation, Matthew 24, all kinds of admonitions in the Torah, and then the things that we see over and over again in the histories and the prophecies. So where does that leave us today? All right, well, if you look at the news, and of course most of you know I do a news show 5 days a week here on this network, and also talk about things that are related to that in other shows and in the Torah teachings that I do on the Sabbath day. But when it comes to the news, I guess if there's a continuing thread, it's that there are just plain so many outright lies that I frequently refer to George Orwell's seminal work, 1984, and what he calls the Ministry of Truth. Now, we have several ministries of truth. You can pick three letters. If it's not a federal unconstitutional agency, it's probably something masquerading as fake news. Well, They tell you it's true news, but it's really fake news, right? We got all the names, ABC, CNN, CS, pick a three-letter acronym. But, well, here is the key. From so many things that we now know that really weren't conspiracy theories, that was just a way of demonizing them so that people would think if you believe the obvious truth, there must be something wrong with you, to something that I have referred to as outright BS for a lot of time, for a lot of while. And BS, of course, in this sense, probably doesn't stand for what you may... Well, I won't say it doesn't. Let's just say that the acronym that I prefer is bogus science. We got a lot of bogus science. Okay, now, at this point I pause and say, well, wait a minute, what's new about that? I've talked about almost all of that before. What I haven't spent as much time talking about, but we will today, is a lot of what I guess you'd have to call the weird stuff. That in general, not always, and certainly not so much on the Sabbath day when we have a little bit more no-holds-barred kinds of discussions, but it's generally something that I've steered clear of, well, for the reasons I've already mentioned. One, we need to have two or more witnesses. What we have instead is too many lies. And let me make that clear. We live in a land, for example, where it's obvious now Hollywood can fake a video. You've seen Forrest Gump, but since then there have been any number of other examples. They're getting better and better at it, and I have a suspicion they're not telling you just how good the technology really is. But suffice it to say, they can fake a video expertly. Years ago, we saw the movie Wag the Dog, which was about faking an entire war. And since then, we've seen revelations of news anchors that have been caught in front of green screens, pretending to be reporters in some kind of a hazard area, whether it's a war zone or a hurricane. They're faking it. More often, well, I won't say every time. Sometimes they actually do, but most of the time, it's cheaper and easier just to fake it. And hey, who's going to catch them anyway? And you have people like Jim Acosta that are faking integrity, going to the White House and doing things that if they were a lesser scumbag, would get them thrown out, even of Hollywood, for crying out loud. So the level of duplicity here shouldn't be surprising, but somehow or other, I think it is. And if you go back, I pointed out earlier in the week that the NBC famously, well, not so famously anymore, they've pretty well covered up in the intervening quarter century, but they got caught over 25 years ago blowing up a GMC pickup truck in its gas tank by strapping a model rocket engine so they could get a dramatic shot of the explosion. Well, they were sued, they later settled, and nowadays, most people have forgotten. That's the kind of integrity that marks the three-letter fake news. And they've gotten a lot better at it since then. Now, today, it's easier to fake certain things outright, and a whole lot harder to spot, obviously. And furthermore, even when they get caught, I'm thinking back to the famous case of a former scumbag in the Oval Office. Bathhouse Barry, you know, the guy who may or may not have been born in Hawaii, but one thing is for sure, the bogus birth certificate was in fact a forgery. You remember Sheriff Joe Arpaio and his people caught it, and the media demonized them for daring to catch this whopper of a lie. And today, most people don't even know that, yeah, the birth certificate was a fake on so many obvious levels. Not the least of which is even the terminology that was used was politically correct. Not the kind of terminology you'd find on a birth certificate when the, fellow who was allegedly born in Hawaii was allegedly born. So any way you slice it, that kind of skullduggery and scumbaggery is now legion. And of course, if you point this out, well, not only are you called a conspiracy theorist, but a birther. So, what am I talking about today? Among other things, we have the really suspicious and downright legion, no, that's not the right word, epidemic, continuing fires in the People's Republic of California. And a lot of folks have pointed out there are a whole lot of things about this that are downright suspicious. And here's the question. Now, I'm not going to claim to answer it, but I will at least set this up. Are we seeing directed energy weapons? That's what some have said, and probably your first reaction was a little bit like mine. Come on, are you kidding? Certainly, I'll acknowledge off the top, I can't prove it. Haven't seen more than enough witnesses, at least, to convince me that that's absolutely, positively what we're seeing. But on the other hand, I'm not going to dismiss it out of hand either. So let me ask it in the form of a question, right? Admittedly, what we're seeing in California and the sequence of fires is somewhat over the top. Suspicious, to put it mildly. So, is it just the kind of absolutely incredible incompetence that we're used to seeing in places like California? And, of course, now we're seeing it in people that supposedly count or maybe forge votes in Florida and Arizona. So, yeah, it could be that it's just an incredible level of academic and epidemic incompetence. On the other hand, could be there's a lot of chicanery going on because these people do have kind of a tendency and they've been caught before lying. On the other hand, the story came out this week, well, maybe it's incompetence and it's got to do with PG&E in the north or Southern California Edison in the south. There, after all, at least was a nuclear disposal site and a former test site that had some major problems. It was supposed to be cleaned up, but Big Brother failed to do that. And now people are worried that the radioactive smoke is spreading all over Southern California. Lots here that doesn't make sense. Or, you know, I guess it just could be plain old arson. And there were more than a few indications that that was what was happening in the fires over the summer. So any way you slice it, like I said, the only thing we know for sure is that this just stinks to high heaven, and no, I'm not only counting the smoke. Bottom line, again, what was going on here, I don't know. But when we don't have two witnesses to what really did happen, that's about all we can say. Now, on the other hand, I will admit there are a whole lot of witnesses to the anomalies. People suggesting this doesn't make sense. Look at this. Look at that. So there's tons of video that really do ask some important questions. So we'll come back to this in a second, but I want to set up where I'm headed with a couple more questions. Like this one. Hey, would they lie? And all I can answer with that is, are you kidding? Have they ever lied before? Are they telling the truth at all anymore? Look at the Jim Acostas, looking at the CNNs, looking at all of these fake news outlets that don't even seem to have any shame when they get caught anymore. NBC, at least 25 years ago, issued a public apology. They were shamed at having been caught strapping a model rocket engine to that GM pickup. But not anymore. All right. Well, how about this question? Do they really think that they'd get away with it? Well, hint. Look at Obama's birth certificate. Hint. Look at Florida, Broward County, and all the other places in the United States where the election was not just rigged in advance. For crying out loud, after the polls were supposedly closed, they got caught shipping ballots, destroying ballots, not for the first time, manufacturing ballots, arguing that people who were clearly, well, dead or signatures didn't match or whatever the case may be, tons of them, should be allowed to vote anyway. Why? Because we got an election to rig here, and who are we kidding? It doesn't matter what people actually want. What matters is what the deep state wants them to have. And when it comes to the election, let me ask it or suggest it this way. Russia, they supposedly rigged the 2016 election for Trump. We don't need any evidence on that score. But on the other hand, Broward County, Florida, Arizona, Maricopa County, no, they didn't rig the midterm elections for the other guys. And we got tons of evidence, but let's just ignore that. Can you spot the hypocrisy and the whoppers? Would they lie? Yeah. I rest my case. And let's go back just briefly. I'm not going to go through these because I have talked about them over and over and over again. How about Waco? Let's kill a bunch of people in a church. Do it on live TV and cover that up. How about Oklahoma City? One truck bomb? Two truck bombs? No, it was contact explosives inside the building. The holes don't even line up. But not to worry. People who've been dumbed down so much that they don't even have basic understanding of high school physics won't catch it, especially if the media will say, look over here, look over there. And by the way, isn't it cool how we destroyed the chain of evidence, brought in off-site dirt, and made sure no forensic teams were even allowed to see what was going on there? Since then, they've scrubbed the web. And 9/11 and so forth. Hey, how about Seth Rich and all the people on Hitler's dead list? Yeah, folks, I think there's a consistent message here. If you have inside information, if you're a whistleblower, the Obama regime made it clear you might just end up dead. If you had information about the Dixie Mafia, you're pretty much guaranteed to end up dead. So let's go through a quick review of other stories that I haven't talked about as much from just this week. Starting with this one, because I think it's kind of a great way to introduce the topic of bogus science. This story came out this morning. It says, global warming study debunked as climate scientists admit to a major math error. And basically what happened is this. There was a brand new study widely hyped by all the usual suspects, the WAPO, New York Times, BBC, Reuters, you name it. Global warming, booga, 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 we're all going to die. We better turn over all of our futures to an international panel that will control your carbon footprint because that's what's causing it. In fact, the new method that was used in this paper to measure the ocean's absorption of heat concluded, well, they got the math wrong, and they got the wrong amount of heat being absorbed, 60% more than previously thought. Those headlines hyped the new study, but it turns out there was an honest scientist, UK-based researcher named Nicholas Lewis, who posted a lengthy blog outline showing he'd found a major problem with the research, and the figures vastly underestimated the uncertainty in their calculations, as well as biased up significantly, and in other words, fudged. Now, did they do it on purpose, or was it just incompetence, right? You be the judge. By nearly 30%, their central estimates. Now, to their credit, and this is a major shift, it's part of the reason why I talked about the story so much on the news, the authors of the paper, which was published in Nature, one of them, a scientist with the Scripps Institute of Oceanography, literally said, hey, we're grateful to have had this pointed out to us quickly so that we could correct it quickly. They're going to fix the paper. Imagine that. Well, in contrast that, folks, with a study that wasn't a study at all. It was a bunch of whoppers. Came out of the Climate Research Unit in East Anglia, UK, in late 2009. Well, that's when the email scandal came out. Now, here I'm going to just reference the headline on November 28th from the UK Telegraph, which called it then the worst scientific scandal of our generation. And interestingly, they pointed out some of the following. Now, let me just mention a couple of these, because what's interesting to me is this one kind of fell into the memory hole, right? Oh, we got all this climate change we have to be worried about. What happened, of course, it was once called AGW, Anthropogenic Global Warming. In other words, man-caused global warming. Turns out it, wasn't man-caused, and it's not really even warming. But all of that has been shoved down the memory hole. Now it's just climate change. And if you don't believe in climate change, you must be a conspiracy theorist, probably a racist, and a whole bunch of other bad things. Now the truth is, there is climate change. It's just that it's caused by the sun, among other things, and that it's not in the direction they were threatening and scaring everybody about. Anyway, here's a quick comment or two from the piece that came out of the Telegraph 9 years ago. And they coined the term, James Dellingpole, coined the term Climategate to describe the scandal revealed by, what, leaked emails from the University of East Anglia's CRU, or Climate Research Unit. Now, in those days, this is before Google got the message and started rigging their search data, too, to cover this stuff up, the word Climategate appeared in the Internet over the next month or two over 9 million times. But even then, says this story in the Telegraph, the hugely relevant point about the thousands of documents that were revealed has largely been missed. Even The Guardian, a leftist bastion, expressed total shock at the picture that was revealed. Why? Well, because the authors of these documents that were doing this literal, no, it wasn't just a huge mistake, folks. This was organized, intentional fudging of the data. We used to call it dry labbing when I was in college, but now you might call it fraud, scientific fraud. They're not just any old academics, though. Their importance, said the Telegraph, cannot be overestimated. This is the small group of scientists who have for years been more influential in driving the worldwide alarm over man-made global warming than any others. And they played the heart of the role for the UN's International Panel on Climate Change, which is still basically infested with these fraudulent liars. There's a lot more detail here, but here's the salient point. They tried to promote a picture of world temperatures conveyed by Michael Mann's so-called hockey stick graph. They even got caught exchanging fudge factor algorithms, computer routines, in other words, to make the data look more alarmist. And it turned climate change history on its head by showing that after years of decline, literally a millennia or so, global temperatures have recently shot up, allegedly, to their highest level in recorded history. Well, it turns out for about 18 years or so at this point, they have been going in the other direction. What were the scientists trying to hide? They were manipulating the data in order to convey the false impression of an accelerated warming. Booga, booga, booga. That's why we need more money and all the usual stuff. Now, folks, if this kind of, well, what was it called? The worst scientific scandal of our generation can be gotten away with, eventually revealed, and a few of the scapegoats were hung from their own petard, but, well, we're still buying the lie, aren't we? What else is going on that's called science that isn't? As I mentioned, I was encouraged to see that in this last case, the scientists actually admitted, well, you know, the point of a peer review is when you catch an error, you fix it. Who could have thought it? How about this one? Cell phones. Now, I've talked and mentioned 5G. Let me just summarize the 5G story this way. Millimeter wavelength radiation. Don't let it anywhere close to where you intend to be, or your children, or your pets, or anything else that you care about living. It's nasty stuff. The military knows more than you've been told because they're using it for directed energy weapons. We'll come back to that. How about this story? This came out this morning. Again, absolute proof this time that cell phone radiation causes cancer. No, this isn't 5G. This was the older stuff, the more benign stuff, which turns out to not be benign. Hey, I think people that have had tumors on the side of their head where they hold their cell phone may have figured out there just might be a causal relationship here. But again, this stuff has been covered up, and you know why? Because there's billions of dollars at stake. I'll tell you up front, when it comes to 5G, and probably the bigger scientific scandal that's going to be ignored and covered up and lied about, there are trillions of dollars at stake. Oh, and if you're going to kill a whole lot of people, how better than to make sure that their neighborhoods are covered by devices that you can crank up the power on and kill them when you feel like it? Isn't that convenient? There's this story, too. This came out of the Natural News, Mike Adams' site. Another bunch of proof that it's actually vaccinated people who are spreading communicable diseases. In other words, and this isn't new, it's been talked about, it's just that it's not talked about on the way stream. Science. Settled science. Vaccines work. Well, vaccines seem to be at least as effective in some cases, and I won't go through all the numbers here, of spreading viruses. Why? Because in some cases they're live viruses, in other cases they're killed viruses, and in other cases, folks, they're not as dead as you might think, and what happens is we get all kinds of effects that most of the public is ignorant of. No, the herd effect is not real, it's the opposite, and I've talked about that too. So let's just continue on. The point is, to this story, the CDC has published a paper entitled Possible Side Effects from Vaccines, talks about this in detail, and the real important point is people don't read the little vaccine package inserts that describe all of the horrific potential side effects. A lot of times when you go down and get your free vaccine shot or your free flu virus shot supposedly, they're not even going to offer to show it to you. Even if you ask them, they may tell you, what are you, some kind of a conspiracy theorist? Finally, there's this one. This just blew me away today. Shouldn't have. North Carolina State University, and I'm going to put that word in great big quotes and say sick, allegedly rolled out their new PhD program. You ready? Social justice education. So you can get, and I joked about it, when I was in college, we used to joke about a degree in underwater basket weaving. Well, at least that makes something useful. Might be a kind of a stupid way to do it, but it beats the heck out of a doctorate in social justice warriorship, for crying out loud. And if you wonder why science is in such of a mell of a hess, look no further than the Knott College University in North Carolina. All right, I'll mention this one. I considered going through it in some more detail, and I'll kind of pick up some aspects of it when we come back from the bottom of the hour break. But this story came out today, too. Now, this isn't science, per se, but it does show the level of deception that we're dealing with it here. And I would call this a classic media false flag, or another example of Big Brother's Ministries of Truth eating their own when it serves their purposes. My first corporate job when I got out of college was with IBM. And in those days, IBM was accused of using a technique. You've probably heard it. I guarantee if you worked in the computer industry, you've heard it. It's called FUD. The FUD factor. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. The companion line, and I had a number of friends that worked in IBM marketing, and IBM marketing were some of the best in the world. Anyway, they used to remind customers, hey, look, nobody ever got fired for buying IBM. In other words, it doesn't matter if it's really the best available for the money or the best available technology. It was good, no doubt about it, but it may or may not have been the best, but hey, that doesn't matter. Nobody ever got fired for buying IBM. On the other hand, if you find something that's better, but it doesn't work, you might get fired. So hey, take the safe choice. Just buy Big Blue. It was FUD, and it worked very well. And nowadays, of course, what we're seeing is FUD when it comes to the entire media propaganda effort on so many levels. Now, here's the story. I'll introduce it, then we'll go to the break. George Soros, the guy who admitted on 60 Minutes, I believe it was, several years back, that, yeah, he was a Nazi collaborator. Yeah, he, well, if you talk about this, of course, you're anti-Semitic, even though I suspect there are a whole lot of Jews who don't like Quislings and didn't like Jews that were helping the Nazis back in the era of the Holocaust. Maybe they have a different opinion. But regardless, a shocking New York Times 5,300-word picture was painted of an out-of-control Facebook. Yeah, two Facebook. And here's one of their two faces. And their desperate and incompetent damage control measures in the wake of a whole lot of scandals concerning that particularly nasty company. And we'll pick it up there when we come back and talk about why that matters and what it reveals.
Yesterday, then I'll get on my knees and pray.
Welcome back to the Come Out of Her, My People Show second segment. Now, folks, I'm your host, Mark Hall, and today we're talking about a show that I guess I'll give you the title at this point, but I'm trying to explore some of the limits of credulity as we live in a time of deception. Let's call this one Believe the Unbelievable, as opposed to the Incredible, and by that I mean the simply not credible. And by the way, we need to learn to disbelieve the pure propaganda, too. I've talked before about some of the techniques for this. I'm sure they'll come up again a little bit today. But what I was doing when we went to the break was just kind of outlining some of the really weird stuff that's going on and some of the things that ought to raise eyebrows. And I'm not just talking about, election rigging and some of the obvious stuff that isn't being covered by the waystream. No, I'm talking about some of the stuff that is, that's bogus and has probably fairly clear ulterior motives. Now, this is a piece that I was getting into as we went to the break from the New York Times, 5,300 words about Facebook or to Facebook. And essentially the headline says it this way. This is from Zero Hedge. The shocking New York Times expose reveals to Facebook scramble to label critics of Facebook as Soros operatives. Meanwhile, Facebook is trashing its alleged, but not really, competitors, Google and Apple. Basically, what you got here, folks, is the leftist socialist media eating their own. It's FUD. It's fear, uncertainty, and doubt. It's a classic media false flag. And if you go back and look at some of the so-called scandals that have beset Facebook of late, yes, they monitor everything. Yes, they're selling your data. But guess what? Remember the big scandal a while back? It was supposedly a Republican company that was using Facebook. Well, forget it. They may sell about 3%. Hey, money is money, business is business, to the conservatives. But for every buck that they get from the right side of the alleged aisle, guess probably how many they're getting from the other side. Cambridge Analytica. Yeah, sure. And the platform has been accused of turning a blind eye towards corrupt governments using their socialist media network to commit atrocities around the globe. Well, and right here in America, too. Get this. The Times said, and it's true, this is the 80-20 rule at work, that evidence has accumulated that Facebook's power could be exploited to disrupt elections. What do you mean, could be? Yeah? Broadcast viral propaganda and inspire deadly campaigns of hate around the globe. Now, are they going to go ahead and point out this is exactly what they've been doing on behalf of the leftists? No, no. We're going to say that there are, in fact, a very few, and we'll point them out to you at no small length, that are on the other side. It's part of the fear, uncertainty, and doubt. In other words, it's about saying, look over here, look over there, and just scattering so much smoke that people don't know which end is up. It's a really effective technique. When you're caught, you essentially fess up to the smaller crime, all the while getting away with murder. Hey, it worked for Hitler, right? In October 2017, says the story, Facebook expanded its work with a Washington-based consultant, Definers Public Affairs. Now, here's the problem. They are Republican, or at least that's what we're told. Guess what? They were established by a fellow named Tim Miller, a former spokesman for the Republicans' Republican. Yeah? Jeb Bush. Are you buying this? And Facebook is being blamed because they allowed Russian ad spending to cause Hillary Clinton's 2016 election loss. You see what I'm getting at here, folks? This stuff strains credulity. It's incredible. It's not credible, for crying out loud. But this is the story. And the bigger story is they're even saying that there are some Soros operatives involved. And Soros, of course, is, I guess, almost on cue, fighting back. His advisor, Michael Vashon, responded today, stating, it's alarming that Facebook would engage in these unsavory tactics, apparently in response to Georgia's public criticism in Davos earlier this year of their handling of hate speech and propaganda. In other words, he called out Facebook for not being as hard as he wanted them to be on the, conservative, constitutionalist, gun-toting, Bible-believing folks out there that needed to be silenced. They weren't far enough left. And so what's going to happen? The left is going to eat its own. They've been known to sacrifice a few pawns. Look at what's going to happen on the wall if a bunch of people get killed as a result of, hey, guess who funded that incursion? That's okay, right? Because it's all about great PR. It's all about the video that'll be played over and over again. Now remember, they don't actually have to have people die on the wall. Now we're perfectly capable of faking it, but that might get caught. So a few dead bodies are always appropriate. You know, it's hard, in other words, folks, not to look at this stuff if you have eyes to see and say, come on, their lips are moving. How many times have we seen them lie before? This fellow that's the Soros spokesman said, this episode further demonstrates that Facebook continues to pursue its narrow corporate interests at the expense of the public interest. In other words, toe the line, Facebook. Get back on the reservation and get rid of the rest of that free speech out there, and to heck with those people who are whining about it as we shut them down. And get this. This guy went on to say, as you know, there's a concerted right-wing effort. Well, what did Hitler call it? The vast right-wing conspiracy. To demonize Mr. Soros, the angelic, literally saintly, the guy who even thinks he's God, if you remember the quotes, George Soros, and his foundations, which I lead, in an effort which has contributed to death threats and the delivery of a pipe bomb to Mr. Soros' home. Blah-dee, blah-dee, blah. Can you see? Can you spot the false flag? When it is literally right in front of us. Get this, the story even goes on to say Facebook threw everything they had at Capitol Hill, wooing Democrat allies in Washington, and eventually favoring a bill called the Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act. And while Google allegedly fiercely opposed the bill, to Facebook quickly supported it in an effort to curry political capital. Okay, nothing new here, folks, but it surely is illustrative. And whether we're talking pseudoscience or pseudo-political impartiality, there's a consistent theme. So let's get back to this idea of the directed energy weapons, so the suspicious California fires. Are they real or not? And I'll introduce the rest of my comments in the next few minutes by noting this, okay? And I have friends that I've known for years, one of whom was literally a fire marshal in a major Denver metropolitan city. And he was an inspector, too, one of the people who did forensic evidence, arson investigator, essentially, went into fires and looked around trying to spot the causes. It's amazing what they can spot, when they're honest, at least. And I'll also add this. I read a bunch of information online surrounding experts and people who have fought fires. I've known smoke jumpers and so forth. I work with people like that in my career here in the Front Range, because during the summer, a lot of folks were firefighters. They worked in wildfire suppression and in fighting them, and those are great people. And a lot of them know a whole lot, and just to stay alive in some of these things is no mean feat. So here you go. Fires are just plain weird, especially the really big ones. Because there is something to be said for a huge mass of flames. You've heard terms like firenados and the like. But, and let me say this, but there are limits to chemical reactions. Now, this is part of the problem, of course, because people might use knowledge to make bombs, and that is now verboten. So we have to have a dumbed-down bunch of snowflakes who can't pass what would have once been called, you know, chemistry 101 at the college level, because we learn about exothermic reactions. And things that produce fire and explosions and so forth. Well, that's forbidden knowledge, it would seem, in the Orwellian world we now live in. But there are, in fact, limits to chemical reactions. There's a limit to how hot a fire can burn, and it's based on what the materials are that are fueling it. There's a limit to how hot jet fuel can burn. Hint, hint. Not hot enough to melt the steel, as we were lied to in the 9/11 false flag. Similarly, we had a whole lot of stuff, and you can go find the pictures online that are downright suspicious. I've seen stories saying, you know what, it's really difficult to burn a rubber tire or melt one off a car. You'll see cars completely burned out with the tires still on them. On the other hand, you'll find no shortage of photos and videos online of tires in the vicinity of these big fires in California that not only have the rubber burned off the rims, but the rims are completely melted, and you can literally see rivers of metal running down from the car. Well, steel and some of these things melt at temperatures well over 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, a lot hotter than a normal wood fire would be. And even if you assume there's some chemicals and gasoline and everything else in some of these homes, it doesn't necessarily explain the level of carnage that's visible on the screen. Now, I've also seen firefighters and others say, no, if you've been in enough fires, you have to understand there are other elements that are involved. Like, for example, now this is true, and again, I'm trying to point out, when it comes to real scientific inquiry, it's important to have an open mind and look at all of the facts and the variables. So, think about this. You have a normal fire, and by that I mean, somebody's water heater explodes, or they're smoking in bed, or something causes a fire, and the house goes up in flames. The fire department comes, and they start spraying water and fire suppressant on the fire. And yeah, it's true. A lot of times the house might burn, but you'll see the wooden structure standing intact after the fire is out. Lots of damage inside, clearly. Smoke damage, in a lot of cases, is worse than the fire damage. And so what some of these people have said is, if you look at the California fires, the wildfires, you'll see huge areas where literally the entire house, foundation and all, including steel appliances and all kinds of stuff that normally shouldn't go away, granite countertops, you name it, ought to survive infernos, didn't. How can that be? Well, one explanation that's been offered is, wait a minute, in a single house fire, firefighters will come and try to save the house. They spray water and fire suppressants, and you can save the structure in a lot of cases. Even if it's not saved, there'll still be a structure standing, as I mentioned. But on the other hand, if there's an inferno out there and anybody that goes in there is going to die, well, hey, they'll just let them burn. And in that case, you're going to get a lot more complete destruction. The question is, and I don't claim to have the answer to this one, is the complete destruction that we've seen consistent with the kind of fire that was really there, or is it just possible there is something more going on? And to that, I'll say at least it's an open question, and I'll ask the questions I asked before. Have they ever lied to you before? Would they lie? Are you kidding me? Do you think they'd be able to get away with it? Well, they certainly think they've been able to get away with it, because they have. So would they lie? Absolutely. Are they lying? Well, that's a tougher question. Now, on to the directed energy weapons themselves. Now, here's one of those places where I'm going to say, as an engineer, I have probably more expertise than most of the people that will be looking at this, and significantly less than any of the people who get paid by Big Brother to develop directed energy weapons, right? A lot of that stuff is going to be classified, top secret. And unless you get it off Hitler's email server, you're not going to be told the truth or even the fact that they exist. Although we have seen news stories, Lockheed Martin and others developing 50 and 60 kilowatt airborne laser weapons. A laser is a directed energy weapon. I am familiar with lasers. I worked with those in college and before that even in high school, built one when I was a high school senior that was a pulsed dye laser capable of doing, burning little teeny things. It was a lot of fun. In any case, back to the Woolsey fire and the evidence of directed energy weapons. And I've seen any number of comments on this when describing the level of carnage. Now, one of the things that I thought was interesting was a picture from Ray Gano, who found a bridge in the midst of the Woolsey fire in Southern California. This is an asphalt steel-reinforced structure, right? Your basic concrete bridge over, I think it was a creek that ran below it. It was in the Woolsey area. And what was quite frankly a little bit unusual is that while nothing was burned around it or under it on either side of it, there was a hole in the middle of the bridge. He took the video. Vegetation around the bridge. If the fire is hot enough to burn asphalt and cement as well as to warp the steel beams, well, why isn't the vegetation damaged? Now again, fires are funny, right? If it's wind blowing in, well, where did this one blow in from? No doubt. It's not all that uncommon, and I've driven by major fire areas. We had one in our own area here in the southern Colorado Rockies earlier this summer, where you'll see swaths of fire that burned up a ridge, obviously driven by the wind, and left green trees on either side. That part's not surprising. But there are other things here that are. Again, says Ray Gano, what melts through asphalt and concrete and warps iron beams? Yeah, you can't blame those who suggest it certainly looks like something that was melted or shot at from above. And he just basically says you have to look to do some investigation on your own. Now, in this regard, I do think that the people that suggest there's more going on here have at least one interesting bit of data that they can point to. And you can find this online, I'm sure. A graphic showing the California wildfires and the areas where there have been huge burns. Essentially, most of Northern California has been burned. A line down the middle of the state, kind of towards the right-hand or eastern side, that goes down and connects all the way with north of Los Angeles, then goes down the coast towards San Diego, and with a line that connects up towards Las Vegas. And what's kind of funny is, I'll just read the headline from the meme here. It says, guess what? The California wildfires, and they put it in quotes, lines up exactly on the same path as the proposed California high-speed rail system. Now, remember, when we had a constitution, there was something called eminent domain. And the idea that you had to actually buy property as opposed to just taking it. But I guess if you're a socialist regime, and there's no doubt about it, folks, that's what California is, the People's Republic of the Left Coast. Look at what Governor Moonbeam has been attempting to do. And by the way, if they kill or force out a whole bunch of people who are politically incorrect, you know, farmers and those who can read the Constitution and those who don't want the invasion and the sanctuary cities that they're intent on slamming down people's throats or even burning down their throats, is it just possible that this is a great way to buy land on the cheap, to get rid of people that are in the way, burn them out, and then take their stuff? See, not to worry. The communists will say the insurance companies are the one taking the loss. They're subsidized anyway. And, we get the land cheap. How much better? Now, they're not going to admit this, but again, have they ever lied before? Are they lying now? I don't know. Back to some of the other related questions, though, because I do think, and here it's worth talking about the directed energy weapons from a bit of a technical standpoint. I've already mentioned laser. A laser is a directed energy weapon. You may remember the word laser is an acronym. It stands for light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. And I remember studying this when I was, I first saw it probably when I was about a sophomore in high school and thinking, this is fascinating. It turns out that when you have a photon, which the right kind of atoms can be stimulated to release, it comes out in a really interesting way. In the same direction and in coherent phase. In other words, it's literally phase locked. It's lined up perfectly with the photon that caused the emission. So the trick is to get what's called a population inversion, a whole lot of excited atoms ready to go. And then when they start to go back to the lower energy level and emit photons, you can create an avalanche. Like a chain reaction where the light bounces back and forth between a pair of mirrors on each end, each time stimulating more emissions and more coherent photons until you get a really big beam and it comes out one end that's only partially reflective. All of the same frequency or color, all coherently lined up, and it'll go a long ways. Voila, you got a laser. Now, you can do it with chemical explosions, it turns out. Pumping, a lot of ways to pump it. When I was in high school, I used a flash tube, a strobe tube, to do the pumping of the dye laser. And there are lots of other ways to do it. An LED laser does it electrically. And nowadays, the technology that we're being told about can produce a 60 kilowatt or so beam, and lots higher levels if you pulse it intermittently. And now small enough to put them on a tank or an airplane or maybe even a hand-carried rifle. I have no doubt that if that's what's not classified, the stuff that's actually in the field by now is a lot more impressive than that. Another kind of directed energy weapon is the one that's being used based on 5G technology. Well, they don't call it that when they're using it to hurt people. But basically, it's about 95 gigahertz is the one that I've seen the data on, and it's a millimeter wavelength, just a little bit higher than the power levels that they're planning on putting, at least telling you that they're putting, on every corner, on every neighborhood in America with a K. And if you flash people with this, they experience incredible, unbelievable pain over their entire body, and they run like hell to get out of it. Isn't that a great thing? Can you imagine putting that on every block in America? And if you really wanted to get rid of them so you could bring your light rail through? Well, that's easier than having to burn them out, I guess, isn't it? But they'll think they're being burned out. All right, if it sounds like I'm being sarcastic here, I am. But it's merely because the level of deception that we've been exposed to and are now seeing revealed ought to cause all of us to be more than cynical. In other words, folks, similar wavelengths to what is being proposed to put in cell phones and give to school kids and put inside your home are the same kind of wavelengths that are being used in directed energy millimeter wavelength weapons as aerial active denial systems. In other words, scan them over an area and people will run like hell. I actually had somebody ask at the Sabbath session here a couple weeks ago, hey, isn't that a great idea? Why not put that on the border? Right? Put these directed energy weapons on the border and repel the Honduran mercenary migrant invaders as they try to climb the wall. I'll tell you why that probably won't happen. Because they don't want to let people know that these are the kind of same wavelengths that they're planning on putting in your house. So maybe they'll have some other way of selling this one. But I think you get the picture. All kinds of deception, all kinds of things going on. Now, there are other kinds of directed energy weapons, too. Here, I suspect the technology is even more difficult. There are things that are called particle beams, either charged particle beams or perhaps neutral particle beams. But then how do you accelerate them? Problem with a particle beam, unlike a coherent laser, if you have a bunch of protons or a bunch of electrons, those are the things that most people would say, oh, I know what an electron is. Okay, I could produce a lot of electrons. That's the way a good old-fashioned electron tube worked. It was in your cathode ray tube in TVs back in the olden days. And they fired a beam of electrons at a phosphorized screen. Scanned it back and forth. There was TV. So if you can scan a beam of electrons inside of a CRT, why can't you scan them at higher power and shoot them out of a plane and start fires with them? Answer, well, it takes some sophisticated technology to focus them and keep them from spreading apart. But I don't doubt that if you've got billions of dollars, lots of time, and who knows how much help from earlier technology, it probably can be done. I hearken back to another one of my favorite studies when I was a high school kid. I loved reading about one of my favorite scientists, Nikola Tesla, one of the most brilliant men who arguably ever lived. And as he approached his death, Tesla talked about his death ray and the Tesla technology. Now, almost everybody that's ever studied Tesla knows that when he died, all of his notebooks were absconded with by Big Brother, and they haven't seen the light of day for the most part since. So what did he know? When did he know it? Well, a long time ago, and no doubt there has been a significant advance in the technology since. There's also talk about things that are called scalar waves. These are a little different than electromagnetic waves, and I don't pretend to be able, although I've been through the math, to completely understand all the math. It took a brilliant mind like Tesla, I think, the guy who invented the induction motor, to be able to visualize waves in four dimensions and things that were literally adding and, multiplying in ways that waves do that most of us can't quite wrap our head around. So, is it possible that there are weapons being deployed like this? I would say no, it's not only possible. We know that it has happened. The information is out there. What is the state of the art, and are we going to see it? And especially, are we going to be told about it if it's being used in California or in other places? And by the way, I didn't even mention who done it. There are certainly implications that the very same people who want farmers and ranchers like the Hammonds and the Bundys out of Nevada and are willing to do anything to steal their land, just might be willing to burn people out in California too. Why? Well, because maybe it's communist China that's calling the shots. Anytime they own $1 trillion worth of bonds and have all kinds of literally abilities to control politicians and steal land, is it possible that they're the ones that are doing this, if anybody's doing it? Again, we don't know. And that's the key. And furthermore, I don't have two or three witnesses to tell us, and I'm pretty sure that they're not about to let us know. One thing's for sure. I saw this interesting bit of information in one of these stories. Not long ago, a $3 million Patriot missile intercepted a $200 drone. And now we've seen that Lockheed, with their 60-kilowatt laser weapon, can shoot them out of the sky. And the Navy estimates those weapons, these directed energy weapons, can be fired for less than a buck a pop. You know what, folks? That's cheaper than a 50-caliber conventional bullet nowadays. Matter of fact, it's getting to be cheaper than a 22-round. And there's a message there, too. So we need to learn to use the intellect and the discernment that our Creator gave us. Don't be fooled and recognize the difference between the incredible and the simply not credible. Because we've been believing far too much that it really is unbelievable. Yes, there is such a thing as truth, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.